For so many second-generation Australians, their story is one of displacement, of growing up caught between the world of their parents' past and the world of their own present. Imants Tiller's parents were born in Latvia, met and married in Germany in a refugee camp, and came to Sydney by boat in the wake of the Second World War. That heritage has run through the Cooma-based artist's work for decades. You may know him for representing Australia at the Venice Biennale in the 80s, in Sao Paulo in the 70s, or perhaps more recently, he took out the Wynne Prize for Australian landscape painting, 2 years running in 2012 and 2013. Well, a major exhibition at the Latvian National Museum of Art is showcasing his connection to the Baltic state. And by the way, that cello music you just heard was composed by the Australian Rosalind Page for the occasion. And the exhibition also features a new documentary about Tiller's. And here he is speaking about his identity.
Our friend says, you shouldn't say that you have Latvian roots. You should say that you're actually Latvian. No, I mean, he's probably right, but also I'm, you know, completely Australian. And many Australians come from different backgrounds. Maybe the answer is I'm a person in the contemporary world.
That's from Thrown Into the World, a documentary about Imants Tiller's, and he's going to be joining me very soon. The director of the film is Antra Chilinska, and I spoke to Antra about how she first came across this award-winning artist.
Actually, for the first time, I myself heard about Imants Tiller from another Latvian artist who's she lives in New York, and her name is Vija Celmiņš. And I asked her once, do you know any other sort of famous Latvian, worldwide famous Latvian artists? And she said immediately, it's Imants Tiller's and he lives in Australia. So some years later, actually, people from Art Museum just approached me saying, well, we are making this huge exhibition for, well, with Imants' works, and maybe you're interested in making some film. And I said, okay, I can try. And as I started looking through his works and reading about him, I just realized that this is wow. I think all these layers which come up in his works, I think this is like a, like really like a book, like a film, like the, you know, like life itself. And there are a lot of things behind it. And I really started searching and I said, yes, I would like to make a film about this person.
Well, Antra, it is such an exceptionally beautiful film. And what I found particularly wonderful about it was actually how simple the approach you took was, and very honest.
Yes, I think always material itself and the person you are working with, I think these are things which always determine how the thing, how well, actually what the film would look like. And I think because Imants' thinking is so complex, but he's just, you know, he's very honest and very hardworking person. And this is what I found really very interesting. And this is how it really, you know, worked out.
Yes, there were wonderful, very still moments in the film where Imants is simply working on some of the cutouts for his art. And the camera simply stays with him for a very long time. So you really get a sense as a viewer of the work that an artist has to do, has to go through. But I was wondering, as a filmmaker yourself, were there challenges making a film about this artist?
Yes, I think making a film about any artist, it's always a challenge because it's like... yeah, I'm always feeling like you're interfering someone's world very strongly. And, you know, creative people are quite protective and they don't want other people to interfere in their lives, especially in their studios, because I think this is like a, you know, like a sacred, like a sacred place. Yeah. I think that was challenge number one. Challenge number two for me was, of course, to work, you know, in an environment which I didn't know myself. Absolutely. I had never been to Australia before. And so it's a very different world, and it's But I think, you know, something united me with Iman's this, I think this idea, distance, and distance is also very often you can come upon this, you know, notion, this idea in his works.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, Andrew, because I was actually wanting to ask you whether you feel, as a Latvian person yourself, whether Iman Stiller's work feels Latvian to you, or some element of otherness to it that is maybe Australian, or something else completely? He describes himself, I think, as a contemporary person in your film.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think this is very true for a lot of persons today. And I think, well, nowadays the world is, we are, you know, migrating, traveling, you know, changing places. But I think there is one thing which inside each and every is this thing, I would say, identity. And if you, you know, if you know where you belong, you can go anywhere and have no doubts, you know, about it. But when you start thinking, where do I belong? I think this really causes a lot of questions. And I think Iman's works are, maybe they are, because of that, they are so interesting, because you can see this duality in it. And people who have this question, they are maybe sometimes spending their whole lifetime to get an answer to this question.
Antra Chilinska, who's the director of Thrown Into the World. It's a new documentary about the New South Wales artist Iman Stiller. Stiller has just returned from the opening of this major exhibition of his work in Riga, and he's here on the Hubble Art to tell you about it. Iman, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Imants, we just heard a snippet of this film earlier where you talk about your ties to Latvia. Can you tell me a little bit about your parents and this experience of theirs moving to Australia?
Yes, well, both of them left Latvia in 1944, and they didn't know each other beforehand and met in a displaced persons camp. I mean, that's what they were called then. Today we'd probably call them, they call my parents asylum seekers.
Yeah.
And they knew nothing about Australia. I think my father had an aunt in New York in the Bronx. So they knew a bit about America, and most Latvian DPs went to America or Canada, and about 25,000 came to Australia. It was the longest journey either of my parents had ever made, you know, by boat from, I think, Rotterdam to Sydney.
Imats, did they choose Australia, or was it chosen for them?
Well, I think they came to Australia because somehow the processing for refugees such as them was made more easy. You know, it was easier to and faster to get to Australia. So I think probably after 4 years or 3 or 4 years in DP camps, they were just wanted to get out.
Yeah.
So, but of course, when they came here, they had no family or, no context, you know, for really building a new life.
Yeah. So you were born in Australia just after they came?
Yeah, they came in 49 and I was born in 50. And I basically grew up in a Latvian household. You know, I spoke Latvian before I spoke English. I only learnt English when I started to go to school. And I think I had a fairly closeted life, you know, Latvian at home and Australian outside of home.
Did your parents stay within a very, very strong Latvian community in Sydney?
Yes, but they weren't, they were a bit detached from it. But I was sent to, you know, Saturday school. And in fact, you know, ended up doing the, you know, high school exams in Latvian, you know, history, geography, etc. But then I kind of rebelled. As soon as I went to university, I rebelled and didn't really want to have anything to do with Latvians. But that didn't last for too long.
Oh, that's probably a great relief for your parents.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there was the Latvian Hall, you know, community of Latvians actually in most capital cities, only about 25,000 Latvians came to Australia. I think they felt, you know, because Latvia was taken over by the Soviet Union, And, you know, there was a deliberate policy of, you know, deportations and Russification. Mm. They somehow felt a responsibility to keep the Latvian culture alive in exile, as it were.
Yes.
And so that responsibility kind of fell on the children as well.
Yes, of course, and a very weighty responsibility. So how did it feel for you when you first went to Latvia? Was there a feeling of going home in any kind of way?
Well, it was in 1976, so I went with my wife, Jennifer, and, you know, it was in communist times. So it was two things. It was kind of like the recognition of landscape and language and, you know, food. But the circumstances were terrible, really. You know, the people there had been colonized, and quite a lot of anxiety, you know, KGB informers everywhere. In fact, I later found out I had a KGB file on myself from that visit.
Have you ever seen that file?
No, I haven't. But, it's a, you know, one of my mother's cousins who eventually became a, you know, MP in the Latvian parliament. You know, had cited it, so I don't actually know what's in it, but I guess it records who I met.
Yes.
You know, we were met by in-tourists everywhere, but in-tourists we now realise was actually KGB.
Ah, yes. Imants, did you feel guilty in any kind of way growing up in Australia and not being there with the Latvians in their own struggle, in a way?
Yeah, no, I do. Do feel that sense of being extremely fortunate to have grown up in Australia. I mean, I felt that very much when we were there in 76, that, you know, how glad I was that I wasn't growing up under that regime.
Yeah. And how do you feel now, going back to Latvia?
Well, we've been going yearly for the last 4 years since this exhibition was proposed in Riga. And I've become kind of I don't know, familiar with it, and it feels quite, it feels very welcoming. I mean, you know, people we meet, like Antra, but also the curator of the exhibition, Elita Ansone, you know, everyone's very welcoming, and, but it does, it's another kind of ambivalent situation where I feel attraction to go there, but probably, you know, I'm actually Australian, and, you know, I'm back here.
Yes, yes, that's right. Imants, just moving on to your works now, and the works in this incredible exhibition, it's just beautiful. How does the exhibition draw out the themes of Latvian heritage in your work?
Well, I think the, you know, I've been referring to it to other people as a retrospective, but one of our friends, Ian McLean, who actually wrote for the catalogue, says that actually it's not really a retrospective, but that the curator has selected works which, you know, which relate to Latvian themes. I mean, a lot of the elements that I've used in various works over the years would have been unknown to most of the Australian audience, because they reference Latvian images or Latvian concerns. But now that's kind of been revealed, I guess. Yeah. The catalogue actually spells those things out.
Now, you're known for working on canvas boards, these small rectangles that you can just buy from like a regular art shop, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and so your work is made up of a large number of these canvas boards. You put them together and it creates a painting. How did you start to use these boards in your artwork?
Well, I started in the early 80s, and, you know, the canvas board wasn't kind of discovered by me. You know, there were other artists using these panels, and I think it was a moment when you know, painting was being reinvented, and I think, I mean, internationally, but also in Australia, it was a kind of return to painting after, you know, a decade of conceptual art, et cetera. And, you know, people were looking for new approaches, and you know, the canvas board, because it had that sort of amateur association, you know, was something that people were looking at. But I, what I wanted to do with them actually was to be able to make large scale works, because I was, you know, working in a, like the spare room of a flat, you know, in Sydney, and I wanted to do large scale works, and this was one way you could do it, you know.
And an easier way to basically post a painting.
Well, the first international solo show I had was in London at Matt's Gallery, which is still going. And I literally posted two large works. Yeah, two works were sent by post. I wasn't able to attend the show, but they got there.
Yes.
And it just seemed like I was very attracted to this idea of, you know, being able to do everything yourself with very kind of small means, but being able to still participate.
Yes. And I understand that you now, with all your work, you've painted on over 100,000 panels. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm up to about 108,000, actually.
Wow.
So I started counting them consecutively, right? Like from one to infinity, which is kind of like a preposterous idea, really. And but it kind of keeps you going.
Yeah, aim for the stars, why not?
Yeah.
Imats, what do you think the significance of this exhibition is for Latvia?
Well, I don't know. I think one of the things is that while my name might be known, you know, to people in Latvia, you know, very few would have actually seen any works. You know, they might have seen some catalogues or books. And the museum actually had a major addition to its floor space. They built actually a whole new wing underground. Because the building itself is a beautiful, you know, early 20th century building. And they had these beautiful, beautiful spaces, contemporary spaces underground, and which, you know, are very suitable for my work. There's the great exhibition hall, and I think we had about 12 really large-scale works there. So I think the actual physical impact would certainly be something that, you know, the audience in Latvia wouldn't have experienced.
Yes. Now, finally, Neil Haddon, the artist who's based down in Tasmania, he's just won the Hadley's Art Prize, and he's coming on the show a little bit later. So he's British-Australian. And I was going to ask him about whether art is like a home for him. So I figured I'd also ask you, is that the way you feel about your art, that it's kind of like a third home?
Yeah, no, that's really a great question, because I think, you know, art gives you art's a kind of arena where you can explore personal issues, but also, you know, larger issues. And it's a kind of protected, you know, environment, if you like. And I suppose it is kind of a third home, the art itself. You know, I'm still kind of trying to work out what it's all about.
Yeah. Imants, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's just such a privilege to be able to speak with you, and thank you. I guess that's all I can say, really. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you too.
Thank you so much. Imants Tillers. Imants is based in Cooma in regional New South Wales. His parents came to Australia from Latvia. Imants has just come back from the opening of this major exhibition spanning 40 years of his work. It's on show at the Latvian National Museum of Art in Riga until September, if you're going over that way. A little bit closer to home, you can see an exhibition of Imants' work at the Hamilton Gallery in Victoria. That's until the 12th of August. Or you can catch Imants' work at Sydney Contemporary in September.